Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. It is a beautiful Thursday evening here in New Mexico. I'm really thankful to be with you all. I am coming to you live from my studio in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and it's a beautiful winter day. Looking forward to next week being Christmas. So this will be my last time on air with you in 2013, and I can't think of a better way to spend an evening prior to Christmas than to be with all of you. Again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, and I am the CEO of La Dolce Vita Coaching. I am the creator of the Heirloom Coaching Process. I have a huge desire. My heart is big and overflowing for adoptees and their families, really helping them to discover the missing thread in the tapestries of their lives and in the tapestry of their adoption. I also do a lot of life and leadership coaching and am very, very thrilled tonight to be here with you. I am one of 40 coaches on Life Coach Radio Network. We have three networks here on Blog Talk Radio. The network I am on is called Life Coach Radio Network. We also have a Life Coach chat channel. You can also find me there. Occasionally, I jump in and chat with other coaches to bring lots of free life coaching, fabulous ideas, and creative and fun strategies and techniques that you can apply to your everyday life. And so you can also find us there. We also have International Life Coach Radio, and that's a lot of fun as well. We do reach the entire world with our radio networks, and we are incredibly privileged to be here with you. And I am typically on twice a month. I am on the first and the third Thursday of every month, and I bring lots of great topics to you each month. We talk about character qualities. We talk about life. We talk about leadership. We talk about adoption. We talk about overcoming challenges and celebrating victories. And that's just a little bit about me. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, you name it, I am out there. And so I invite you to jump in and connect with me digitally as well. I do want to offer up a phone number to each one of you. If you would like to call in tonight and chat with the Walk Your Talk Coach or my amazing guest, Ken, tonight, I want to offer you up a phone number that you can call directly to us and ask questions, share a thought, whatever comes up for you. And that number is 646-716-9397. So we would love to have you chat with us if you would like to. And so without any further ado, I would like to take just a moment and introduce you all, my amazing radio audience, to my guest this evening. I have the privilege of being joined by Mr. Ken Howard. And this man, ladies and gentlemen, walks his talk. He has lived a life of integrity and honor and a real respect for humankind as well as his life, his family. I know this man personally. I'll tell you a little why I know him personally later on. We are friends as well as family, and I am incredibly fortunate and blessed to have him. And so, Ken, welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne this evening.
Well, thank you. I am honored to be here with you and your listeners. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to see what unfolds tonight.
Well, me too, and listeners, you know, like I often do on my radio program, is I kind of invite you, each one of the listeners, to spend some time, you know, get in a comfy place and spend some time with me and whoever I do have on my show, because whoever I bring on to Walk Your Talk with Leanne typically loves people and they love their life. Oftentimes they love their God. And they walk their talk. And that's why I did invite Ken to be on the show with me this evening. And so, Ken, introduce us a little bit to yourself and tell us, how is it that you walk your talk?
Great question. Well, oftentimes when people ask what I do, you know, they're thinking vocationally. And my answer to them, although it might seem like a dodge, is really the most accurate way I can portray it. I study relationships, and I am honored on a daily basis to walk with people who allow me into the intimacy of their relationship, to walk with them towards the goals that they have for their we or for their family. And so I am just fascinated. I am but a fledgling learning to fly, and I am a student of healthy relationships. And so as a marriage and family therapist with a practice here in Kansas City, I am honored to walk with people who allow me to learn and grow with them. But my passions are my wife and my daughter. I am passionate about being a healthy husband for my wife and a healthy father for my daughter. And I am honored to be their family. So that's me.
Excellent. Yeah, that is you. And for a man to speak that live on the air takes a tremendous amount of courage. And it takes a lot of integrity to be able to say that you want to be a healthy man for your wife and for your daughter, and that that's a huge passion for you. And a question that I have for you that really comes up for me as soon as you share that, Ken, was what in your, you know, how did you come to this point of really desiring to leave a legacy, to be passionate, to be healthy, that kind of thing? Because we're going to be talking about legacy tonight, right? That was our topic, is,
right.
You know, leaving a legacy, living your legacy now, that kind of thing. And it sounds like you are at a place where you want to actively pursue that on a day-to-day basis in your own life as well as in your business, in your ministry, where you help, like you said, you walk alongside people and you help them realize, right, how to come to a place of health and wholeness in their life. And
well,
so
that's amazing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The beginning place I think that everyone must begin from is a recognition of their own brokenness. And so the legacy that I was given by my family was relational brokenness, divorces, infidelities, you know, a lot of unhealthy behavior that was my legacy. And, you know, for many years I replicated because it's what I knew. And it was unhealthy behaviors that led me into drugs and led me into all kinds of stuff that was involved in that world that led me into a collision course with the Lord. And so for me, the starting point was a recognition of my own brokenness and a realization that I don't want this life, which then opened up to, well, what are my other options? And so, you know, there's a lifelong of inertia that builds up and builds up and builds up over time that can carry you in some really unhealthy directions. And for parents who are doing it well, there's an inertia that builds up over time and time and time and carries them and their family and their children and launches them into some really healthy directions. And, you know, one of the things that your listeners may not know that I have a privileged insider view of is how you and your husband have done that. And the direction and the arc of your children's lives just bespeaks the inertia that you created early on.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so kind of you to say. You know, I am a pretty excited and proud mama and a devoted, I call myself a very devoted warrior wife. And, you know, it certainly has not been without its bumps and wiggles. Like you said, you know, there has been a lot of brokenness in my life as well. Everything that stems from my adoption to lots of different traumas, to broken relationships, to, you know, kind of you name it, right? There's been a lot of things that have established inertia in my life as well. And I think that's what's so cool about spending time with you, Ken, as my brother, my friend, my cousin, is that we've been able to witness each other's lives. And we've been able to see the ripple effect that has shown up for both of us because of the legacies we've been given, right, and then the choices that we choose to make. So thank you for saying that. For those of you listeners who don't know, I have two amazing kids who are married to two amazing spouses, and they are launched into life, living life full on and living life full time in their worlds. And it is very, very exciting to be on the other side of that. And so, Ken, you're just kind of walking into fatherhood right now. Tell us a little bit about your lovely wife and daughter so our listeners can have a picture of who it is that they're hearing from tonight.
Yeah. So my bride's name is Angie, and she is a middle school counselor. And my daughter is Autumn Grace, and she will be turning 2 January 27th. And she's just a delightful little creature. And we are blessed. You know, one of the things that I wanted to offer to you and your listeners that was a gift to me from a professor of mine in my master's degree, Dr. Chris Haben, who's talking about the duality of humankind, how we can be made of such broken stuff and made of such fabulous God stuff, and it all resides in the same earthen vessel. And he said, you know, I'm a really good husband, except when I'm not. And I'm a really good father, except when I'm not. And the importance of that statement, and that everybody adopts that same phrase for themselves, is because it allows you to encompass the duality of your own self, that you do some really good stuff and you do some really junky stuff, and the importance of being able to own your own foul and to call foul on yourself and then to repair from that. But oftentimes when people have a fragile sense of self, they can't own the bad stuff. And they try to hyper-accentuate the good stuff. And it flattens them into a caricature of a human being. And it doesn't allow them to repair and to reconcile. So, you know, I make no suppositions that just because I have a master's degree and all of this education that I do it all well. And so what I cling on to is, I am a really good husband, except when I'm not. And I will never be perfect, but I can become a master of repair.
Wow, that's a very beautiful, bold, and strong statement, a master of repair. And so when you hear yourself say that, and I think of the word repair, I mean, I'm seeing this huge, you know, repair shop. I'm seeing all of these tools that are probably in the walls of your office, right? I'm seeing bandages, right? I'm seeing casts. I'm seeing canes. I'm seeing crutches. I am seeing, you know, lots of triple antibiotics, steroid creams, all that kind of stuff. A master of repair. Yeah, yeah. And so how have you seen that show up within your practice as well as your own life?
You know, one of the distinctions between the pros of relationships and the amateurs of relationships is this part about the pros. They typically cause as much damage as the amateurs. So if you think about the in an argument, you know, having hammer and chisel in hand, and the argument is banging at and chiseling at the foundation of your we. The pros recognize that they've done damage, and they immediately set to work to put in rebarb and flex steel and concrete, and they repair the damage. And the paradoxical aspect is that the repair of that damage is now stronger than they were before. Whereas the amateurs of relationships with hammer and chisel in hand, they just hammer and chisel until they're tired and they stop, but they never repair the foundation. And so at some point, you will chisel through the foundation and the relational house will collapse. And so it's the mindfulness and the recognition that when you do the work of forgiveness and reconciliation, always with the goal of getting back to intimacy and connectedness, that the work that you do actually makes you stronger. So,
right on.
You know, when you think about scar tissue, at one point, a scar, I'm looking at my hand that has a big scar on my palm from where I fell on a jagged piece of glass. Once the surgeon brought that skin back together and that wound healed, the scar tissue is now actually stronger than the surrounding tissue. And our relationships
Absolutely.
Are the same. So when we do that work of repair, we're actually stronger on the back end as we are now reconnected into intimacy.
Oh, I love that picture. And, you know, the one thing that really comes up for me and something that I have shared multiple times within my coaching practice as well as in all of my friendships and just in my everyday life was the thought that really God gave me years ago when I still had kiddos at home. We were actually homeschooling at the time, and we were living in Colorado. It was prior to us coming out here to New Mexico, Ken, and God kind of gave me this vision that it was my job as a parent to lay the foundation for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their job to build their own houses.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
their houses may look quite a bit different than mine, right? They may pull out the chisel you talked about, you know, and separate whatever mom and dad did that maybe wasn't just as beautiful in the foundation. They may have to adjust that just a little bit. But our job as parents, and, you know, part of my belief system is to lay the foundation for them and then cheer them on and support them as they build their own house on top of that foundation. And a lot of that is the legacy, right? That's that legacy piece of what
right.
we have laid is that foundation for them. And then, you know, if they choose to build a log house, a stick house, a stucco house, whatever it is, an adobe for those of you here in New Mexico, you know, whatever kind of house they choose to build and where they put their windows and their doors, that's their deal, right?
Yep.
And so as a parent, to go ahead and give them the freedom to do that and really release them in trusting them to build their own house, right, where we don't have to get in there and do it for them. Because they are extremely capable because if we have made that choice, right, to be a healthy parent, to be a healthy spouse, and to be fully conscious about the choices that we make every day that really do affect ourselves and all of us, all those who are around us within our sphere of influence.
Agreed.
And so, yeah, I love that, Ken. So thank you for helping me to lay that foundation for our listeners this evening, because I think that's really, really important. And, you know, each one of us, I'm not telling anybody else how to parent or anything. That's not my job here. You know, Ken and I just really want to raise awareness for each one of you to help you think about, you know, what kind of legacy do you want to leave, and are you living it right now? And if you are not living it, then why not? And that's some
yeah.
beautiful challenges that, you know, we want people to think about, right, Ken, as we're
yep.
talking about all of this. Yeah, and so when you hear, you know what, before I ask that question, let me just throw out this number because I know we have some listeners here that may want to chime in. So I do want to give you that number again real quick here. It's 646-716-9397. If you would like to tune in, call in, and chat with either Ken or myself live on the air, I did want to offer that opportunity. So, Ken, when you hear the word legacy, what,
mm-hmm.
what does that word mean to you?
Well, oftentimes people are thinking legacy of this is something that is passed on, and so they're kind of forward-thinking. Somebody's died and the legacy that they now leave. But I actually split backwards and go back in time because that's where the legacy actually begins. Let me use a metaphor that I think will help articulate this well. So think about one of those backyard swimming pools, the above ground blue-sided jobbies that's a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine getting your two kids and eight of their friends into the pool, and in a little group, they now start on the outside edge of the pool, in the water, start moving around in a circular fashion. And they work really, really hard for an hour to get that water moving in a circle. So after they've created this whirlpool on the inside, what they've created is a powerful pushing force called inertia. Because water has mass, they've now applied velocity. Mass times velocity equals inertia, and it's a pushing force. So what's going to happen to this little knot of kids when they try to stop?
Yeah.
What will happen?
Yeah, they're going to Yeah, absolutely. They're going to face a tremendous amount of pressure pushing on them, propelling them
so
forward, whether they want to go or not.
Exactly. And it's because of the work that they've applied to move in that circular fashion and create that inertia. And family systems have that same kind of inertia. And so the problem is that oftentimes you can come from a family system that had an inertia that was really unhealthy, and that inertial push kind of gets inside of you, into the DNA of you, and you take it now out of the family system, and then you begin replicating that in the relationships that you have outside the home. And until ultimately you marry, and you then recreate that inertia in the relationship and then pass it on to your kids. And so that can be a very mindless process. On the flip side, and I've witnessed this, for instance, in your family, you and your husband had a very intentional and disciplined and mindful inertial pattern that you were working for, and you worked very hard for it. And the evidence of that is the inertial push that then ended up in your kids and carried them in a very similar arc and pattern. But that was mindful to create that inertia, and that inertial force is very powerful. So the thing to conceptualize is let's just say that you've grown up in a very negative inertial pattern, and now you feel like, even though I don't want to do this, I keep getting sucked back into this. I keep replicating relationships that are unhealthy in this way. What you have to realize is you will never be able to change that pattern in one fell swoop. You can't do a 90-degree shift in that swimming pool's inertial flow. But what you can do over time, if you are able to identify the end goal, step 25, you could then start to incrementally, step by step, step one, step two, step three, as you go through the steps, begin to change the inertia by degree. And so ultimately, you've changed the entire flow of the water. And people can do that with family systems and with their lives in a very mindful and intentional and methodical way.
Wow, very well said. And what an incredible word picture that you have just given all of us. You know, I'm seeing this pool, I'm seeing the kids running, right? I've totally got this whole inertia picture, and I really appreciated your very real and very honest way about explaining that arc and about the work that it would take to change that flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because when what I'm even hearing and what's coming up for me, Ken, when I hear you say all of that, is, you know, you're kind of going in this circle, right? You've kind of got this flow. It's really comfortable for you. And
yeah.
We don't have to think much, right? We don't have to think
right.
much about the direction that we're going, because it's kind of been our pattern. And
yep.
so
just now pushes us
when
along.
All of us, right, it totally pushes us along. And many, many people can live their life within that inertia, whether that inertia being an inertia that is serving them really well and that is providing health, healing, and wholeness in their own lives and in the relationships that they are connected with, or that inertia could be a spiral that is not serving them well, that is building negativity in their relationships and different things. And
right.
if there is an individual that would like to get out of that, it sounds to me that would, you know, you have to kind of fight your way. I'm thinking, you know what else I'm thinking of here, Ken, that just popped into my head, is whitewater rafting. And you know how we're going down whitewater rafting and all is looking really good. And then there's something called an eddy.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with that?
Yeah.
And so if your raft or your body gets caught in an eddy, it's some serious inertia. That thing is spinning so fast, and it will suck you down, right?
Yep.
And so I'm thinking about when you have to get out of, say, an eddy, inertia, a pool, a bad behavior, a challenging situation, that you're kind of having to fight your way, and an incredible amount of strength would need to be drawn upon to change the path of that inertia.
Yes. And the thing that's important to recognize is, and the hopefulness of it is, you can change the inertia. But where most people fail is they fail to realize the amount of work and the time horizon, that this isn't going to be hunker down, read a book, go to a seminar, and now everything's different. That's not how it works. I mean, when I was at the National Center for Fathering as the seminar director, we were involved a lot with Promise Keepers, and one of the things I would hear from wives was, you know, men go off to have these big mountaintop experiences, they come home with these grand visions, and then 2 weeks later, they're right back to where they were. That's because they failed to take into account the buzzsaw of inertia. So they've got this idea of step 25, but they didn't take into account the requirement of the intestinal fortitude to do step one, and then to allow that change to soak into the system, and then to step two and step three. And so they just were unprepared to be met with the inertia that would push them back into the position of a husband who was disconnected with the wife or disconnected from the children. And the family system wouldn't absorb that quickly. You try, it didn't work, and then back into place. And so there really has to be kind of a siege mentality of, look, I'm in this for the long haul, and I'm going to take these steps in order. And oftentimes people will not want to work on step one. They want to work on step seven. But you've got to start with step one and then step two.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a beautiful point. And what a very poignant time for us to be talking about this particular topic and the inertia. You know, Ken, we're wrapping up 2013 here real quick, right? We've got about 2 weeks left at best in the month right now and of this whole year. And we're getting ready to jump into 2014. And, you know, it's a really cool time for all of us, listeners, therapists, coaches, right, to really take some time and examine, what inertia have we been running in 2013? Is it really where we want to be? And if not, how do I stop that flow, you know, and stand still for a minute and start changing direction?
Yeah.
And really, you know, walking into 2014 with a new perspective and a new vision on the legacy we want to leave, the inertia that we want to create in our families, in our workplace, right, and in all of our relationships. So, you know, we're, believe it or not, we are at the bottom of the hour. And I would love to take just a moment and do some commercial announcements for our radio stations here, Ken, for just a moment. And so while I do that, what I would love if you could, you know, grab a sip of water, breathe just a little bit, because you've given us some amazing information right now, and you talked about some steps that people can take prior to step 12 or step 25, where we all just want to be. You know, I want to have met that weight loss goal already. I want to have a better relationship with my husband, with my children. I want to be a more effective employee, right? People out there are thinking a lot of different goals and strategies that they can put into place as they walk into 2014. And what I would love it if you could think about is how do you break it down? You know, practically thinking about, instead of being at step 12 or 25, sorry, I'm kind of talking in circles here, but instead of being at 25, how do we back that up, Ken? Instead of looking at the destination, the end of our goal, how can we look at what's really, really important and how we stop that inertia, right, initially, and start changing direction? Does that sound good? Mm-hmm. Is that a fair question? Is that about as clear as mud?
I think I've got
it. Did you get the gist of where I want to go with this?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to take a moment and do a little commercial announcement here. So, again, you are on live on Life Coach Radio Network with Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach, and I am also joined by Ken Howard, and we are going to continue our conversation about legacy in just a moment here. I do want to take some time and tell you about some upcoming shows that we have on Life Coach Radio Network to end and wrap up our year of 2013. And you can tune in tomorrow, 12:20 at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you can join Coach Mandy as she talks about training your brain and upping your game. We also have on 12:23, Reverend Jen, and you are going to be able to spiritually speak with Rev Jen at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also on the 26th, the day after Christmas, you can join Coach Andrea Ruppelman, and her show is called Gaining Perspective. And I personally have had an opportunity to work with each one of these coaches, and they're fabulous. They've got a lot of great tools and perspectives for you, so I do encourage you to lean in and listen on those days. If you do not have an opportunity to listen in live, I want to remind each one of you that we are podcasted, so you can find us on iTunes. You can also find us on the Life Coach Radio Network's website. There is links to our shows and to each one of our coaches that you can learn a little bit about each one of us by going there as well. And the next time that the Walk Your Talk coach will be on Life Coach Radio Network is going to be after the new year. And I have the privilege, the first Thursday, which happens to be the 2nd of January, I will be interviewing our fearless leader and the founder of Life Coach Radio Networks, Russ Terry. And Russ and I are going to be chatting all about gratitude on that day. So I also want to take a moment and invite you to join us after the new year, January 2nd, on gratitude. Stay tuned for time. We haven't set aside a time yet, but I will be posting that, as well as Life Coach Radio Network. We'll be posting that on Facebook, LinkedIn, and our various websites. So please stay tuned to hear about when we're going to be on live again. So great. And the phone number, again, to call in if you'd like to chat with either Ken or myself is 646-716 9397 on Life Coach Radio Network. So thank you very much for that. And so, Ken, what's coming up for you, brother? What do you got for us as far as some tips, some steps? How do we stop that inertia and start changing direction?
Yeah. Well, and because I look through a lens as a follower of Christ, the first step for me is always prayer, the prayerful aspect of inviting the Lord's wisdom into helping me discern what the next steps are. And there's a wonderful verse out of Psalms that says, "Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." So in the cultural context of that time, the writer would have been talking about a tiny little terracotta lamp that would have just lit the next step with the faith that when I take the first step, then the light will move and your word will light the second step. And we live in the land of, 5 million candlewatt power torches that are handheld that light the next 5 miles. And we'd like to see that path, but for me, that's not a path of faith. That's a path of seeing. So to have the first step be, I need supernatural clarity in order to help me understand not only what my end goal is, but what my first step is. So for me, that's the first step. But one thing that I'm a big proponent of is the value of getting feedback. So imagine if you took out a piece of paper and wrote some headings in the major areas of your life, husband, business owner, father, friend, etc. And I made some columns. And in each of those columns, I wrote down and I really processed what's a major area of change that needs to happen. Where do I need a wake-up call in this area of my life? Now, I'm going to be looking at that through the limited perspective of my lens. I'm going to see what only I can see. But the capacity to turn towards a significant other, a husband, a wife, a child who's old enough to make sense of this and say, "Sweetheart, what do you see? that I can't see. Because my wife is built and geared to see perspectives and parts of my blind spot. And if I turn to her and get feedback, that's a crucial aspect of my spiritual maturing, is turning to those around me who can see me from different directions and say, what do you see? And then loading that into my spiritual practice of growth. So those would be two things that would be, I think, really good first steps.
Absolutely. So that prayer piece, right, is vital, right? Any time that we invite the creator of the universe into our lives to reveal to us what we're missing, very, very powerful. And I really, you know, I echo that, and I really resonated as well when you talked about that piece of getting feedback. And, you know, oftentimes that can be a very, very frightening thing for many people. And I'm sure there's some listeners out there going, whoa, I do not want anybody telling me about me, right? They're just not at that place of being vulnerable, because it leaves you pretty open, right? And very at a very vulnerable place. But my goodness, the value that comes with vulnerability, right, I often say brings us right into victory if we allow it.
Yep.
And so there is incredible value, right, into receiving input into our lives. Because like you said, Ken, we look at things through our own lens. We look at our own lives through the legacy that we've been given, through the examples that we have witnessed, and through our own selfishness sometimes, what we think things should look like, our own control issues or our fears or insecurities, right, that can pop in there, and that can really skew our lens. And it almost is like there's Vaseline on it. You know, we're not seeing it clearly at all. It's totally rubbed and full of smudges. And by eliciting some input, outside input, incredible things can happen from that. And, you know, that first place starts in the home, right? It starts with our spouses, our children, the people who know us the best, that know what we're like behind closed doors, right? Not the face that we put out in public.
Yep. I mean, I'm in my office right now as we're doing this interview, and I'm looking at 15 shelves of books on relationships. And I can read all these books, and they can have some wonderful, wonderful insight and tools and tactics and techniques. But there is nobody that can teach me how to love my wife like my wife. So if I want to know how I can be a better husband, I need to turn to her and be willing to have a strong enough sense of self to simply open myself to her and her critique to say, sweetheart, how can I love you better? For her to then reflect that back to me. So if I really want to love my wife, I'm going to ask my wife.
Wow, that is so incredibly powerful. And that is a man, ladies and gentlemen, who is walking his talk. And what an amazing, blessed wife you have to walk this journey in life of marriage and raising your lovely daughter in that kind of an environment. And the legacy that you're providing for Autumn, as well as she witnesses, as she witnesses the interaction that you and Angie have with one another, then that is what I'm hearing. You're creating already at 2 years of age for Autumn an inertia of health and wholeness within the context of family.
Absolutely. So her lens that she'll look at the world through will be a secure attachment, where when she's in distress, when she needs comfort, the lens that she'll look through is, well, of course you would reach to those closest to you and elicit comfort and be comforted, because that's how you do relationships. But that's not, I mean, there's four attachment lenses: secure, anxious, avoidant, and disorganized. And so not everybody looks through a lens that says, hey, when I'm hurting, I reach outward to those closest to me to elicit comfort. And so you know, that's the thing, that's the legacy that I, you know, a relationship with Christ and a secure attachment. Because if she comes out of our home with those two things, that legacy is better than blue chip stock. That will benefit her and enrich her life in ways that no monetary gift to her ever will. So if we get that right, we've done it right.
Awesome. And so it sounds to me that you and your wife have made some decisions about the legacy that you want to leave for Autumn. It sounds to me like you've made decisions for the legacy that you want to help your client walk into and realize. And, you know, the thing, the changes in your own inertia, right?
Yes.
What I'm getting from you, Ken, is you're not walking into this whole family situation and legacy blindly. It sounds like you're showing up kind of on purpose every day. When you wake up in the morning, you've got a choice to make.
Correct.
Of how you're going to show up with your wife, how you're going to show up with your daughter.
Absolutely. And those incremental, what can seem like insignificant moments, when you realize that all of those moments of reaching to one another are about connection, then you realize all those moments matter. When my wife asks me when I'm comfortable on the couch and watching ESPN, can you help me in the kitchen? That's a bid for connection from her. And when I see that through the lens of that's an opportunity for connection and all connection matters, then I'm gonna be much more willing with a grateful heart to get up off the couch and go help her, because I know that builds a secure attachment with her that says, when I need him, I can ask for him and I get him. He shows up. And as I endeavor to build that same secure attachment with my daughter, those will then be the relationships that she gravitates to. And so to recognize that, you know, there's a term called a transitional character. So if you've ever seen a genogram, which is kind of a family tree, you can see it allows me as a therapist to hang lots of different information on a genogram, like who struggled with drugs or alcohol, where were mental illnesses, how did you do emotional connection, and you can map out that in a family. And you can see a family system where there's, you know, two lines of alcoholism coming down the family, and then there's this one person, and all the lines that come down from them, no alcohol. And that person is a transitional character. And for me, I am endeavoring to be a transitional character on my family tree, where what flows from my wife and I and down to our children are secure attachments and relationships with the Lord. So that's the inertia that we create on a daily basis.
Right. And so what actively, you know, oftentimes it's very, very challenging for a man to share the work that they have done or the work they are currently doing to get out of their own head and make conscious choices to build health and healing and that positive inertia in their family. And so what I know about you is you're a pretty open, honest guy. And you're a guy who's not afraid to walk his talk. You're not afraid to share what it is that you have found to be effective. And so share with us, Ken, you know, give us a peek into your head. What is it that, what are the biggest challenges that you face in showing up whole with your family?
Sure. Well, first of all, it all is predicated on a heart change, because I can put all of the tactics, the very best tools and tactics in front of somebody, but if their heart doesn't change, then the tools will not be available to them in those moments of crisis and trauma. And so there was a heart change that when I had that collision with the Lord that allowed then my life to open in a way where connection and intimacy was preferable. So I came out of my home of origin looking through an avoidance lens that does not privilege intimacy and keeps everybody at arm's length. emotionally. And so I developed a vast network of very superficial relationships, but nobody knew me. And so as I had this awareness of this avoidant lens, my second year of a master's program, I realized how my arms were locked holding everybody out. And I had to then learn how to tolerate the discomfort that comes with intimacy. And so learning how to self-soothe, learning how to have a better braking mechanism so I could slow down and understand my discomfort. So something just happened in front of me, and my wife says something, and it hurts my feelings. Through an avoidant lens, the way that I would manage that previously was just clamp off, push away, and move on, and just deal with it. That's how avoidant lens wearers manage their internal emotional experience. They just deal with it on their own. So I had to learn in those moments of, ow, that hurt, to slow down, to integrate my right and left brain so that I could understand the emotional experience that I was having, to give it language, wow, that really hurt my feelings, because to fit it into my overall coherent narrative of self, so that I could then turn to her and say, hey, do you have a second to talk? When you said that with such sharp tones, that really hurt. But the reason that I can do that, Leanne, is because I have made a decision in my heart that I privilege intimacy with my wife above all things, above my rightness, above looking good, above feeling safe. So because I've made that decision in my heart, the tools of intimacy are now available to me.
Right, and you've really opened yourself up to that. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, kind of step one can be in prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And step two being some accountability or inviting
mm-hmm.
others in, right?
Mm-hmm.
For input.
Feedback. Yeah.
Uh-huh, and feedback. Yeah, thank you for that word. And so if you had to, with what you just shared, what would you say step three is then?
Well, let's just say that you struggled with intimacy and you really wanted to understand better what is the lens that I'm looking through. I would really recommend an author by the name of Dan Siegel. He is a neuroscientist and an attachment theorist, which is what I am. So as an attachment mm-hmm. theorist, we study how do people build secure attachments, how do they maintain them over the life of the relationship, and how do they repair them when they rip? And they always rip. So how do you then mindfully repair that damaged fabric? So he's an attachment theorist and a neuroscientist. There's a book that he wrote called Mindsight, which is very easily a lay book that really is the articulation between these two very powerful lenses. That would be a great place to start processing slowly what has my history been. If you're a parent, he wrote a book called Parenting from the Inside Out, which really allows you to swing backwards into your own family of origin to understand your lenses, to now understand how you are impacting your child's lens. Because with 86% predictability, if I know how you attach to your parents, I will know how you will attach to your child.
Right. Yeah, it's very, I love that. Very, very insightful information. And, you know, as a coach that works with adoptees and their families, and just my
mm-hmm.
own story as well, that, and just the connections, you know, that I help people to bridge, that is so huge, Ken, because it's really true. We do have to look at the legacy that we were given.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And we have to understand the role that we play, right, within the context of our adult lives now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's very, very crucial. And that leaves us, again, at that real vulnerable place. Because any time we start working from the inside out, whether it be parenting, relationships, intimacy, that's a lot of hard work right there.
Absolutely.
Because that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So, one of the things that continues a thread that is woven into the tapestry of so much of what I do in therapy is that these attachment injuries, this lack of a felt sense of safety, of turning outward when I feel discomfort inward, I now have to start leaning on external supports. So for guys and more and more increasingly women that I work with, you know, I feel discomfort throughout my day. So pornography then is the option, or alcohol, or drugs, or online affairs, or, you know, fill in the blank. But these are all strategies for trying to manage my uncomfortable self and these emotions that I don't know what to do with. And so I look for something to either distract me or blunt them. And so, you know, these are attachment issues and really poor strategies that end up not getting their needs met. And, you know, and maybe you're familiar with this author. His name is Dan Hughes. He's an attachment guy as well, and he has been doing work in adoptive and foster world for a long time. He wrote a book called Facilitating Developmental Attachment, which is fantastic, and Attachment-Focused Parenting, also very worth the read. So it's crucial to understand your own attachment lens and what you're now mindlessly passing on or mindfully passing on.
Wow. And so for someone to come to a place, Ken, of mindfulness,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like the steps that you gave, that prayer, that accountability,
mm-hmm.
that feedback, right? And then all, and then reaching out for resources
mm-hmm.
and support and sometimes professional, right, help can be incredibly beneficial.
Correct.
For those who really do want to change that inertia of their lives and start living the legacy that they want to leave.
Absolutely.
But it does. It takes that mindful piece.
As I reflect back on my master's program, the most powerful thing that the master's program gave me personally and then vocationally was the capacity to manage my anxiety well. Because when my wife fires on me and hurts me, it's the anxiety that I'm experiencing through my avoidant lens that causes me to want to shield up and push away. And if I can't manage my own anxiety, then I'm going to turn to other things to manage my anxiety, or I'm going to clamp off from my emotional experience through that avoidant lens and push away. So learning how to self-soothe in the moment, to pump the brake and slow down, to practice the discipline of mindful integration. Whoa, that was really big for me. What just happened? And to be able to do this in just a few seconds, to be able to process all of that, to then hold out to my wife my internal experience and then seek comfort and then allow her to comfort me and then be comforted. And that's what develops an earned secure attachment.
Oh, beautiful. And any time that we can reach out and attach to what we were supposed to attach to, our God-given family, right, our spouses, that is where that real intimacy and connection can come. But when mm-hmm. we do turn inward, that's where those addictions pop up, isn't it, Ken? That's where the behavior that maybe could be more destructive in our lives, we can go there so quickly.
Yep.
It's a choice that we need to make in the moment to learn how to manage that anxiety, how to reach out and learn to receive from the people around us the love, the support, and the security that we so desire. Because oftentimes
I would argue that the best antidote.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I would argue that the best antidote to addictions is secure relationships. Because when I'm in distress and I can reach to my wife and receive comfort, who rightfully should be my primary source of comfort on this earth, then I don't need mm-hmm. to reach to a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautifully said. And, you know, within, this is coming up for me too, but within the adoption realm, and you do a lot with marriage and family therapy in your practice as well, but even within the context of relationships, raising teenagers, right? This is
mm-hmm.
what's coming up for me, is that if a teenager is feeling safe and secure within their family, they will reach back into their parents, kind of umbrella of protection, if you will. mm-hmm. when things get incredibly challenging, instead of reaching out to drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever, that they will tend
Correct.
To reach back in again.
And the reason that they'll be able to reach out is because their parents gave them the tools to reach inward first. Wow, I'm really struggling. I'm in distress. I'm going to go talk to my dad. So the capacity to make sense of their own internal experience, and then the trust, the felt sense of trust, to now reach outward to say, comfort me. And that's the inertia of a legacy that I want to leave my kids.
Wow, Ken, that is so beautiful. And, you know, I'm looking at our time here. Believe it or not, we are almost to the top of the hour. And if I just can recap just a moment of, just for a moment, the call that, or the show here that we were able to bring to you, listeners. This has been an amazing talk about legacy, about inertia, about providing safety and security within the context of our relationship, about intimacy and growing in that and learning that vulnerability and authenticity in our relationships that can give us the courage to step forth with boldness in our relationship and seek that comfort and security and connection with those that we love the most. You know, this is December, and a lot of us are this week with Christmas and the other holidays that are coming up, a lot of us are going to be spending time with family. A lot of us are going to be spending time with people that we love and some that drive us crazy. And but we have a decision, don't we, Ken? We have a decision about how we're going to show up with them and the legacy that we want to leave and what we want our Christmas 2013 to look like. We have a choice. And we have a choice to stand still and let that water of the inertia, you know, eventually slow down long enough so we can make the changes in our lives that will serve our relationships and grant them the dignity that they were created to have.
Absolutely.
And,
there's a fantastic quote by Shannon Adler that says, carve your name on hearts, not tombstones. A legacy is etched into the minds of others and the stories they share about you.
Absolutely. I love that. And another one, I'm going to give another quote here by author Carl Bard that states, though no one can come go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. And I also want to share this proverb just in honor of our Lord this season. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. And so, listeners, maybe you didn't have a great start in life. Maybe your middle is rough. But maintain hope to a new ending. You can have a brand new start from today forward and make a brand new ending. Your legacy is waiting to be lived by you. And I encourage each one of you to really take a look at where 2013 brought you and where you want to launch your 2014. And when you are at the end of 2014, what do you want to be saying that is different from what you're saying today? And so I do really want to thank each one of you for joining LeAnn Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach on Life Coach Radio Network. It's been a real privilege to be here with you. And Ken, it's been an incredible privilege to have you on the show this evening and to hear your thoughts and your wisdom, your heart, your integrity. Thank you for being my brother, my cousin, my friend, and a mentor in my life. And if our listeners, and I know they will, if they want to get a hold of you or learn more about you, touch base with you in some way, could you please share your connection information?
Sure. So my website is www.aspen-coaching.com. aspenlikethetree.com. So aspenlikethetree-kc.com. And my email address is just ken@aspen-kc.com.
Beautiful. Thank you. And again, thank you very much for being here with us and sharing, Ken. It's just been a delight and a privilege. I hope to have you on again on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And it's just been great. I am so encouraged by our time together.
Glad to be here.
Excellent. All right, listeners, well, we are at the end of the hour and the bottom of our show this evening, and I just want to take this moment and wish each one of you an incredibly blessed and merry, merry Christmas and a very happy new year. You can find me at walkyourtalkwithleanne.com. You can also find me at LinkedIn, and you can find me on Twitter at Leanne the Coach. I look forward so much to hearing from you, being of service to you. I am a life coach, life and leadership. I love what I do. I'm very passionate about it, and I desire to walk this journey of life with you each and every step of the way. So again, thank you very much for joining us, and have a beautiful end to 2013.